America.
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the October 22nd edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. World heavyweight boxing champion Anthony Joshua has sent a special message of support to protesters demonstrating against police brutality in Nigeria. The 31-year-old Joshua was born in Watford, England, but his mother is Nigerian and his father is of Nigerian-Irish ancestry. There have been daily protests for nearly 2 weeks in Nigeria. Joshua's message follows eyewitness reports that soldiers opened fire on protesters in Lagos on Tuesday. In a video released on Twitter, Anthony Joshua had this to say.
This is a message to the people of Nigeria. Even though I'm not there with you in the physical, we've been making some tangible efforts to try and support your protests on the ground. I know it's getting to a stage where things are heating up and tensions are high. But in my prayers at night, I'm praying for peace and positivity because I know the people on the ground aren't trying to be heard for their own benefit. It's in benefit of the next generation. Me, myself, I've had to take time to understand the issues that people in Nigeria are facing. And why sometimes I'm silent is because I've learned my silence can't be misquoted. So me and my family and my close friends have been trying to do some tangible things, and we're organizing many, many care packages for the people on the ground. So even though I'm in my training camp and we're in London, we can support you guys from a distance. December the 12th, I'm competing, and after that, I'm going to try and make some plans to come out to Nigeria and meet some of my friends and family and meet some of the people trying to make some long-lasting change. But for sure, from London and far and wide, your voices are definitely being heard. So keep on pushing, keep on striving. You have my support through and through. My ears and my eyes have been opened. I understand the issue you guys are facing. And for some people, what I'm going to do alone is going to be enough. And for some, it may not be enough. But together, as we hold hands and push for a better change, we will all move forward in a positive direction. So keep on pushing. Your voices have definitely landed on my ears, and you definitely have my support. God bless.
We heard Anthony Joshua say he's competing on December 12th when he's scheduled to fight the Bulgarian Kubrat Pulev at the O2 Arena in London. But because of the coronavirus pandemic, the venue could change, according to our reigning prince of pugilistics, Nnamdi Hollywood Moeta.
Sonny, December 12th, O2 Arena. The plan, original plan now was to put 12,000 people in the 17,000-seater arena. Well, with COVID getting back into the UK in the full force, I don't see how the British government can allow anybody into an arena, 12,000 people to watch fight coming up December 12th. But, Sonny, we don't know. Nobody knows. Me and you, we can't plan. The US government can plan. The British government can plan. Nobody can plan. How about if COVID start going away end of November and we see things opening up? Yeah, they can put 12,000 people in O2 Arena. And we get to see Anthony Joshua against Kubrat Pulev. We've been waiting for that for a long time. But the way things stand today, they may end up moving the fight into a smaller arena, into a smaller venue with no fans, just few officials and boxing aficionados. Maybe 200 people, and we get to see the fight on television. But the live gate, which a lot of promoters and television people depend on, that will not be there. Unless we pray this thing goes away, middle of November, we see the light, then we can come back and start enjoying sports.
Namdi, at the end of November, former world champions Mike Tyson and Roy Jones Jr. scheduled to fight each other in a special exhibition bout. How about an update?
Sonny, remember, these old geezers, they have a combined age of 105. They're going to fight on November 28th. At the Dignity Health Sports Park here in Carson, California, with no headgear, and they're going to use a 12-ounce gloves. A week ago, the great Mexican warrior, Julio Cesar Chavez Sr., had an exhibition match with another great Mexican boxer in TJ, Tijuana, at ASE. These guys ran out of bread, Sonny. These geezers couldn't hang, you know. So the World Boxing Council and the California State Athletic Commission decided, you know what, we don't want to risk anything. They cut the rounds from 3 minutes round to 2 minutes. So which means give them a little way to get out of it, because if somebody goes in there and collapse, then we're dealing with insurance, we're dealing with health issues. So I'm so glad that the Boxing Commission and the World Boxing Council realize that these guys will be exhausted when they run 3 minutes run for eight rounds and without headgear and with 12-ounce gloves, we can see some damage.
Namdi, with these two-minute rounds, do you think that favors Tyson or Jones?
Sonny, the cut on the rounds favors Iron Mike Tyson, and Roy Jones is not happy about it, because if Mike Tyson goes in there very angry, Roy Jones may not even last 2 minutes. So Roy Jones is not happy, but fight fans, they're okay with it.
Namdi, is there any buzz for this fight between two guys you describe as old geezers, combined age of 105, exhibition match? Talk about the buzz.
The buzz is not really there, you know what I mean? They have not done no press conference. The media is not really writing about it. But that does not mean they cannot sell a million buy. But, you know, it's just one of those things. The geezers will put on a show, and at the end of it, if you feel ripped off, it's your fault. You paid for it. Nobody forced you to buy that pay-per-view. $75 a pop right now. It's not chicken. It's some money you can use for breakfast or lunch. If you put that for a pay-per-view and you feel ripped off at the end of it, that's your fault.
Finally, Namdi, most of the big fights in this pandemic year of 2020 taking place in empty arenas under strict COVID-19 protocols. How would you describe the experience of watching these fights in quarantine bubbles?
Sonny, watching the fights from the so-called bubble, it's just like having my fufu with no egusi soup and stockfish and all the stuff I enjoy with my Nigerian food. It's not the same, Sonny. I mean, they soup it up with all this audience noise and stuff and pictures on the wall. I know that there's nobody in there but few officials. The interesting part of it, you can even hear the corners talking to the fighters, you know. It's not the same. The ratings are really not there, you know. I mean, telling us to come and buy pay-per-view for some stuff. This pandemic has really destroyed a whole lot of stuff. Until we get the fight fans, soccer fans, boxing fans into arenas, then we can enjoy it. The A-list fighters have not fought, remember now, because the A-list fighters, the elite fighters, they depend on the live gates. And the live gates, they come like in Las Vegas, like 17 million. The live gate in Saudi Arabia with Anthony Joshua and Ruiz, the Saudi government put down like $40-50 million, you know. With pandemic now, you don't get that money. So it's not the same. Fight fans are not buying the pay-per-views, and the quality of the fights, they've not been 50-50 fights. The only good one was Teofimo Lopez and Vasily Lomachenko. Other than that, all the other fights, it's not the same. I'm waiting for this pandemic to go away so we can feel free to go into arenas and have a good time, watch a great fight, root for the fighters, root for the everything happening. And then there's electric in the air. Just there's no electric in the air. There's no electric in the house while you're watching it. So what do? You turn off.
Thanks, Namdi. That's our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Moeta.
Hello, listeners. My name is Juma Miro, the Commonwealth Games bronze medalist in Australia 2018. Listen to Southern Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Thanks, Heather. That's Heather Maxwell, the host of the VOA's Music Time in Africa show. And here's a fun VOA fact about Music Time in Africa. It's the Voice of America's longest-running English language program. It was founded in 1965 by the late, great Leo the Music Man Sarkeesian. Leo died in 2018 at the age of 97, but his spirit lives on at our Voice of America headquarters here in Washington. Studio 23 is dedicated to Leo. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. A Somali refugee boxer was featured in Jim Stevenson's latest Game Room sports package. Here's Jim.
I'm Jim Stevenson. Welcome to the Game Room. Ali is back in the ring. Not Muhammad Ali, Somali refugee boxer Ramla Ali.
And yes, my dream has always been to go to Tokyo, go to the Olympics. And, you know, if it happens, I will definitely book my ticket to the Olympics next year.
Ali has turned professional in a quest to become the country's first world champion and inspire a new generation of Muslim women to challenge stereotypes by taking up the sport.
I feel like amateur boxing has come to such a standstill that, you know, if I didn't turn pro now, I wouldn't get the opportunity to compete until, you know, next year. And I just love, as weird as this sounds, but I just love competing and I just love fighting. And I feel like I'll get the opportunity to compete sooner if I turn pro.
The UK-based 31-year-old Ali was aiming to be the first Somali boxer to go to an Olympics. But the delay to the Tokyo 2020 Games, caused by the coronavirus outbreak, allowed her to recently sign a promotional deal with Eddie Hearn's Matchroom Sport. She hopes she can land a change-up, changing people's image of her Somali homeland.
Somali is just known for, like, horrible things, piracy, famine, war. So to give Somali the opportunity to be known for something other than that, I feel like is obviously amazing, and I feel like they'll be very appreciative of that as well.
Ali was a toddler when her family fled the Somali capital Mogadishu in the early 1990s during the civil war after her elder brother was killed by a mortar at the age of 12 while playing outside. When the family arrived in London as refugees, having lived in Nairobi in Kenya, Ali was picked on at school for being overweight. She went to the local gym and tried a boxercise class, but did not tell her family as she thought they would disapprove of the sport for a Muslim girl. She now hopes as a boxer, she can inspire a new generation of Somali women.
You're brought up from a young age in Somalia and you're sort of nurtured into just becoming someone's housewife. My mom, she was never allowed to go to school. So my mom's illiterate. And that's the reality for many girls in Somalia. So to know that I've inspired girls to take up the sport of boxing is definitely the type of change that I've always wanted to see. And it's great to be able to see it.
Ali keeps her gloves up and defensive when it comes to protecting her family.
Now that I have a bit of a profile, I'd be like a target. So, you know, even when I'm doing interviews, I purposely don't mention my parents by name. People put two and two together, you know, who's related to me and just, you know, hold them for ransom and things like that.
She funded her amateur boxing career by modeling. And sometimes the two worlds didn't mix.
I don't know, countless times I've turned up to a shoot and I've had a black eye and I've just been like, oh, guys, I'm really sorry. And, you know, I always request the same makeup artist because she just knows. And every time I turn up, she'll be like, well, you know, you're giving me something to do at least. You know, you're making my job hard, but you're giving me something to do.
Ramla Ali won the British and English titles in 2016 and initially represented England before switching to Somalia in 2017. She also packed a punch to the September 2019 edition of British Vogue magazine as one of its 15 cover stars.
Stand up! Stand up!
Sports fans have a lot to hear each day on VOA. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports for the latest from Africa, the United States, and around the world.
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro.
Find the Sunny Side of Sports on the radio, online, and as a podcast.
This is Sunny Side of Sports
right here on the Voice of America.
Get it.
World football's governing body, FIFA, and the United Nations Office on Drugs and Crime are working together to tackle corruption and crime in football.
FIFA has contributed to this work, including to develop the guide on good practices in the investigation of match fixing and has supported awareness-raising events. We are working to take forward our cooperation, including through the development of the upcoming UNODC Global Study on Safeguarding Sports from Corruption. UNODC and FIFA will also join efforts to strengthen youth and community resilience to violence, crime and drugs through football and sports.
Gada Wali is the executive director of the United Nations Office on Drugs and Crime.
Sports can also be a powerful tool for preventing violent extremism and radicalization among young people. The UNODC Technical Guide on Preventing Violent Extremism Through Sports provides practical guidance on sports-based interventions and addresses safe spaces, social inclusion, empowerment, education, and resilience as five key areas of intervention.
FIFA President Gianni Infantino says football's world governing body has reformed itself to root out corruption from within.
Now we have the regulations, they are there before. We have a report, a technical report, which is published, and each and every single vote of each and every person is public as well. Not everyone agrees with that, you can imagine, but we need to do it. So the fight against corruption in sport and in football in particular, and let me say in FIFA as well, is our top priority.
Infantino says public confidence in FIFA will be seen all the way to the sport's biggest event.
We have put in place new governance structures. We have put in place control systems. We want to be efficient. We want to be effective. We want to be transparent. And as one example is the award of World Cups.
Gada Wali says the effort is wide-ranging.
Looking ahead, I'm committed to expanding our work to bring in regional as well as national football associations and other partners to strengthen sports integrity and to engage more with the private sector and NGOs in this endeavor.
The UN's leading anti-corruption agency and FIFA also pledged to consider ways in which football can be used as a vehicle to strengthen youth resilience to crime and substance use through the provision of life skills training.
And thanks to my VOA colleague, Jim Stevenson, for that spicy Game Room package. You can listen to more Game Rooms by going to voanews.com.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Thanks, Haiti. That's my VOA colleague, Haiti Fitzpatrick. Nigeria's Ministry of Youth and Sports Development says it will ensure that COVID-19 protocols are in place after the lifting of the ban on contact sports. In an interview with Iron Mike Mbonye, Nigerian Sports Minister Sunday Dare said the protocols are for all sporting activities.
Well, the conditions given the ministry is very clear. The COVID-19 protocols must be fully adhered to. Recall that about 12 weeks ago, the Ministry of Youth and Sports Development put together a COVID-19 sports protocol that traversed all our sporting activities and was benchmarked against the similar COVID-19 sports protocol that other countries have put in place and which they have been able to use successfully. We are going to adhere strictly to this COVID-19 protocol, whether it's for football, whether it's for tennis, team sports, or contact or non-contact sports.
Can you tell Sunnyside of Sports listeners if there are plans to test athletes before the commencement of the National Sports Festival or National Youth Games?
I think the most important of all this is the testing that must take place of all athletes that will participate so that we're sure that there will be no infection as much as possible. And we'll be watching out for COVID-19 protocols. We'll watch out for COVID-19 infrastructure that will be necessary, not just at Edo 2020, but at our stadiums and other centers that we allow sporting activities to take place. By the same token, we urge all private sporting organizations, those that have private clubs, for tennis, for football, for basketball, to make sure that they also adhere strictly to the COVID-19 protocol.
Do you have any structure in place to monitor the implementation of COVID-19 protocols with the lifting of the ban on contact sports?
The ministry on its part has put together a COVID-19 enforcement and monitoring team that will be able to monitor the compliance level across board. This team is made up of staff of the ministry, staff from the NCDC, and of course we do some from the federations, particularly the Nigerian Football Federation.
That's Sunday Dare, Nigeria's Minister of Youth and Sports Development. And he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Abuja, Nigeria. Finally, here in the United States, the Tampa Bay Rays beat the Los Angeles Dodgers by 2 runs Wednesday night to even Major League Baseball's World Series at 1 game each. The AP's Dave Ferry reports.
Brandon Lau broke out of a postseason-long slump in a big way while helping the Rays earn a 6-4 win over the Dodgers, evening the series at a game apiece. Lau was just 6-for-56 this postseason, giving him a 107 average until he hit a solo homer in the first inning to put the Rays ahead to stay. He went deep again in the fifth, a 2-run shot that made it 5-0.
It's so great about this team, this coach and stuff like that. You know, as soon as I started dragging my feet, you know, somebody was right there to pick me up and tell me that. No, focus up and let's get going.
4 of his 8 hits this postseason have left the yard, and he doubled his RBI total with 2 swings on Wednesday. I'm Dave Ferry.
Thanks, Dave. With more on World Series Game 2, here is the AP's Mark Myers.
Despite hitting 3 home runs, the Dodgers came up short in Game 2, losing to the Rays 6-4, and that got the attention of Dodger manager Dave Roberts.
They're the best team in the American League, and they pitch well, they defend well. They're tough. They give you tough at bats. And for us to beat them, we got to play good baseball.
Chris Taylor hit a two-run homer, and Will Smith and Corey Seager delivered solo shots. However, L.A. got only five hits all game. The Dodgers made it a bullpen game, utilizing seven pitchers, none lasting longer than two innings. Rookie Tony Gonsolin got the start, gave up one run, and was the losing pitcher. I'm Mark Myers.
Thanks, Mark. And that wraps up the October 22nd edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC. VOA's Our Voices television program is about more than just sitting and talking about women's issues. It's about listening to them and bringing their opinions to the table and making sure that their voices are heard. Because our lived experiences, our stories, and our voices will help shape the next generation.
Check your local TV listings and join the conversation each week with Our Voices on VOA.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal.
The Voice of America's Global News Program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest news stories of the day.
Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. Our correspondents gather the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 3:30 and 1705 UTC on The Voice of America.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bonga flavor to sikus, afrobeat to ndombolo and makosa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 0905 and 2005 UTC, right.